Scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, and I'll be reading the first 8 verses. If you're using the Pew Bible, it is page 11. Genesis 12, beginning at verse 1, let us hear God's word. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Morah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Today we begin a sermon series on the life of Abraham, and I'm calling this series Living a Life of Growing Faith. Living a Life of Growing Faith. Faith is the conviction or the confidence that something is true or reliable. It's more than an opinion or intuition about something. It's more than just hoping or wishing that something is true. It's a commitment to something that is so fundamental that it shapes the way we think and the way we act. We have faith in a great many things. The tax accountant advises his client based on the belief that 2 and 2 will always equal 4. The scientist draws conclusions based on his belief that the laws of the universe will remain constant. The car owner returns to the same mechanic to get his car worked on because he believes that his mechanic will remain reliable. The Christian follows God's commandments because he believes that God exists and rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Everybody exercises faith every day, whether a scientist or a theologian or a truck driver or a hairdresser. All of us have basic assumptions about the world and about how it operates. And that affects the choices we make. It affects the actions that we take, our commitments to what is true or fair, or what is right and wrong, will impact our conclusions about how to live, about how to do our jobs, about how to treat other people, about how we conduct ourselves in our private lives. Often we don't think about those assumptions. They're so integrated in our makeup, but they're there, and they govern our lives. Now, in this series on the life of Abraham, we're going to talk specifically about what it means to live a life of faith in God. Or even more specifically, we're going to talk about what it means to live a life that is growing in faith. Sometimes we talk as though faith in God were something that we either just have or don't have, but that's not entirely true. There's a growth in faith. Jesus speaks of having faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. He's not talking about that faith remaining that size. The Apostle Paul speaks of the faith of the Thessalonian Christians as a faith that is growing abundantly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And as we track the life of Abraham, we will see that although the New Testament speaks of him and champions him, really, as a man of faith, Abraham actually had ups and downs in his faith in God. And when we look over the course of his life, we're going to see that Abraham's faith became much stronger over time as he saw and as he heard the promises of God confirmed to him over and over again. Faith in God should be the defining characteristic of our lives. At its very heart, faith means to acknowledge that we are creatures, that we are limited creatures, completely dependent on an infinite and sovereign God. Faith says we are not self-existent, we're created. Faith says that we don't define ourselves. God defines us, and he has made us to bear his image. Faith says that we do not live for ourselves. Rather, we live for the one who made us for himself. Faith also says that the God who made us in his image and for whom we live, that this God loves us and has promised, he's promised good things to those who believe in him. And so we see that a life of faith not only honors our Maker, but it's the way to real joy and real fulfillment in life. Now today I want to focus on the relationship of faith and the promises of God, the unfolding plan of God. This is a major theme that comes up again and again throughout the life of Abraham, and it's a major theme throughout the Bible. Like Abraham, we live by faith that things have not yet come about, that things that have not yet come about will come about because God has promised that they will. Now, the writer of Hebrews says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that at the present time, we walk by faith and not by sight. So to explore this relationship between faith and the still unfolding promises and plan of God, I want to look at three things. First is the plan of God, and then the promise of God, and then third, the call to faith in God. First, the plan of God. With the call of Abraham, we see a significant advancement in God's plan to redeem the human race. I'm going to give us a little bit of a history up to this point from the beginning of the book of Genesis. The first two chapters of the book, we're told about how God created the heavens and the earth, and God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. But then in chapter 3, humanity is seduced into believing that they could become like God, not merely as dependent image bearers of God, but as independent rivals to God. God places a curse upon creation and upon the human race because of this fall into sin. Humanity would get a taste of a world without God, a world that in which people attempted to live independently from him. And it would be a world of frustration, a world of hardship, and a world of decay and death. But in the midst of this, God also gives a ray of hope. He extends a word of promise of redemption through the offspring of the woman. Well, by chapter 6, man has become so corrupt that the Bible describes it as every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's quite an indictment. So God floods the earth and begins again with Noah and his family. In chapter 11 of Genesis, we see the arrogance of humanity rising again as they seek to pridefully make a name for themselves by the construction of the Tower of Babel. And then after much time and many generations have passed, we come to Abram, a descendant of Shem, one of the sons of Noah. The date is about 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. Egypt had already been a major power in the area for over 1,000 years. The great pyramids of Giza were already 600 years old, and Abraham most likely saw them in his travels. At the end of chapter 11, we're told that Abram lived in Ur. That was a city on the Euphrates River, southeast of what is now Baghdad in modern-day Iraq. His father, Terah, took the family and traveled about 600 miles northwest along the Euphrates River to the city of Haran. And that city was located in what is now modern-day Turkey, just over the border from Syria. Chapter 11 also tells us that Abram's wife, Sarai, was barren and that she had no children. So it's here that chapter 12, which we just read from, picks up the story. We learn that God speaks to Abraham, gives him a command to leave his family and country and go to another one. And with that command also comes a promise of great blessing. In fact, the blessing that God promises to Abram is really a blessing that extends to the whole earth. And it's here that we see this plan of redemption of God continuing to unfold. The word of hope that God spoke to Adam and Eve after the fall, and the salvation of humanity that was illustrated in the rescue of Noah and his family from the flood, that salvation is now further defined. It would come through Abraham and his descendants. It would be through Abraham that God's plan of salvation would continue. In him, God says here, in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Well, in response to the call of God, Abram continues the journey, another 400 miles, this time south. So they went northwest up from the Gulf area and went up towards into Turkey. And now they've turned south and they've come down into Palestine, into the land of Canaan. And they stop at first at a place called Shechem, which was about, if you're looking at a map of Israel, you've got the Sea of Galilee up at the top and the Dead Sea at the bottom and the Jordan River running between them. So about midway down there on that map and about 26 miles west from the Jordan River, that would have been Shechem. And from there, Abram goes a little further south beyond that, as we saw in the text. So this is the plan of God, and it's unfolding. And Abram is now to be part of it. Well, this brings us to the second point, the promise of God. We're not going to spend a lot of time here today because these promises are going to be repeated to Abraham throughout his life and throughout his journeys. And we're going to be revisiting them very briefly in verses 1, 2, and 7. God promises three things to Abram. First, he promises to give him a land. Then he promises to make him a great nation. And then he promises that he will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth will be blessed through him. Now, what's important for us to see here today is that when Abram left his home and his family at God's command, he didn't possess any of these things. The land that he was supposed to go to was still occupied by foreign nations. We're told in this passage that the Canaanites lived in the land. Abram was only one man, and at the moment he was childless, and his wife was barren. So he's certainly not seeing that the land was his, and he's not seeing that he's a great nation at this point. And then third, the descendant of Abraham, through whom all peoples would be blessed, would not be born for another 2,000 years. So Abraham leaves his home, not seeing any of these things, but he leaves his home based on the word of God. Now, we don't know how much Abram knew of this God. God was certainly known and worshipped, but so were many other gods. So we don't know how extensive Abram's knowledge was at this particular point, whether he knew the accounts that I outlined from the earlier chapters of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis hadn't been written yet, but these things were probably known by people. And so it's quite possible that Abram knew of this God and knew of his ways and knew of his plan. And it was to him that God went and made these promises to him. A remarkable thing for this man. Abraham held a very important and key place in the plan of God's redemption. So let's turn now to the call to faith in God. The plan of God is still unfolding. We are still walking by faith. Promises of God to Abraham still apply to us today. We read about Abram's response to these promises of God. The first is, of course, that he left his family and he left his country. He went to a place that was not familiar to him. He trusted in God for this. And we see that as he travels through the land, well, what does he do? He builds an altar. God appears to him in Shechem. And in response to that, Abram builds an altar to the Lord. And then again, he moves and this time makes his camp between Bethel and Ai. And he builds another altar to the name of the Lord. And we'll see this again as he moves through this. These are acts of faith that God is going to fulfill what he has promised to him, that he will give Abram this land. And so he acknowledges God and he worships God and he serves this God. He has made, at least at this point in his life, this God is now going to be his God. God has chosen Abram to be one of his people, and Abram has responded by faith in the Lord. We, like Abraham, have received a call to walk by faith. As I said at the start of this section, the plan of God is still unfolding for us. It has not been completed. We see a lot more than Abram did at this point in time when he had nothing of these things. He got a look at the land, but as yet no children. And how is that going to work itself out where his wife, for whatever reason, was not able to have children? And how in the world was this man going to be a blessing to all the families of the entire earth? Well, we understand a lot more now of what that meant. Most of you know what's coming next in these stories, but what we gradually see through history is God's faithfulness in keeping this promise and how he's further advancing against all odds, right? At least from a human perspective. God will provide Abraham with children. He will become a father, not just of the Israelite nation, but of many nations. We see through Jesus Christ, descendant of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, that through him all nations will be blessed and receive the salvation that God has promised, that he promised to Adam and Eve back at the time of the fall. So this call to faith to us still holds. We see a lot more than Abraham did, but there's still more to come, right? There's still things that we are looking for. The Apostle Paul speaks about this a lot. He speaks a lot of having hope, hope in the things of God, a hope in specifically in the resurrection from the dead. Now, again, we have something to look back on this, because we know that Jesus, who died, himself rose from the dead. And his promise to us is that if we trust in him, we too will rise with him. There will be a day of resurrection. And so these things are still before us. The plan of God is still before us. The promises of God, the promise of a land. We learn later on in the New Testament that the land that Abraham really was looking for was not a land in this present world, but a heavenly land. And we too, with Abraham, look for that. We are this nation, this great nation, that of every tribe and tongue, of every family, the nations of the earth. We are this great nation that God is forming, that God is calling together, that God is gathering, this community that God is gathering, community of people. So we are called to walk by faith in this present world, in our family relationships, in our friendships with others, in our jobs, in our schools, in our communities. And if we have faith in God, this is not necessarily going to change the things that we do. It can change what we do, but more often it's going to change how we do things. To walk by faith in my job means that I'm going to do my job ethically, according to God's commands. To walk by faith in my relationships means that I will love my neighbor as myself and treat others with the honor and dignity that belongs to an image bearer of God. To walk by faith in my community means that I'm going to help poor and I'm going to protect the weak and the defenseless and seek true justice and mercy. To walk by faith means to acknowledge that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Some questions that I think is good for us to ask of ourselves is, how can I live my present life by faith? Do a survey of the things that you're involved in your life and ask how you can be living by faith within these things. What do I need to do differently? Maybe what do I need to stop doing that I'm currently doing? What do I need to start doing that I'm not? When I was in college thinking about marriage, because college students think about those things, I was looking for a woman who loved me, but I was also looking for a woman who loved the Lord, someone who shared my faith, someone who placed God above other things. I was looking for a woman who was willing to go with me where the Lord was leading. My point here is that I was going about this, I believe, in faith in God and not just something that was separate from my belief in the Lord. I was trying to live this aspect of my life in faith. I can't say, regrettably, I can't say that I've done that in every aspect of my life, but this one, I did look to the Lord. And God was gracious, and I was able to find someone who was interested in Bible study. Strange thing. And someone who was interested in prayer and praying together. And someone, and this was a mystery to me at the time, because I was this poor college student who didn't have enough money even for myself. I found someone who supported a missionary family. I said, how can you do that? You don't have no money. But she did. And I prayed about my decision here. And I share that with you because I think that this is a snapshot of what I'm talking about in terms of living a life of faith in the Lord. God may be calling you to leave your family and your home and go to Africa or Asia or the Middle East or the inner city and to serve him there. He may be doing that, or he may be calling you to live by faith right where you are. Point is that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it should be done in faith, in God. We are to believe God as Abraham did. We are to believe his promises. We are to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the essence of faith in God. We see Jesus Christ represented in Abraham here. Others are blessed in or through him. Whether one is blessed or whether one is cursed depends on where they stand regarding Abraham. But you know, it's not Abraham, really, that we're talking about here. It's Christ. Abraham was not the Christ. It would not be Abraham who would bring salvation and redemption to the world. It would be one of his descendants. It would be Jesus of Nazareth. And so in John chapter 3, we read that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And then, you know, in very similar language to what was said to Abraham, John says, whoever believes in him, in Christ, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. It is Jesus who needs to be at the center of our lives, the focus of our faith as we live. We need to trust in him for the forgiveness of sins and for our passageway into heaven. But we also ought to be trusting him as our Lord, as the one who commands us to go and to live our lives for him, to obey his commands. This is what a life of faith is about. And it comes, as we're going to see, with rich blessing and rich promises to those who look to the Lord. We have an inheritance that belongs to us, Jesus says, that neither moth or rust can destroy. Well, we'll talk more about this. May God give us the strength to walk with him in faith as we wait for the day when we will see him. We will see him. Faith will turn to sight, and we will see him as he is. May God bless us until that day comes. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your promises to us, for that promise of redemption. We thank you for this rich history that you have recorded for us, that demonstrates your plan, that teaches us about you, that encourages us in our own faith in you. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would help us to grow in faith as Abraham grew in his. We pray, Lord, that too we would be bold witnesses in this world of your great plan for the redemption of all who look to you, who call upon your name as Abram did. Lord, we look to you for these things. We pray for your grace, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.